أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page number 72 of the Quran, which is the fourth juz, Surah Ali Imran. And we are coming now towards the very end of this passage or this long topic and subject matter that Allah Azza wa Jal has discussed in Surah Ali Imran, and that is the Battle of Uhud. And Allah Azza wa Jal will conclude in this episode and some of the next episode, some of the issues that are remaining with regards to this particular battle that took place in the third year of the Hijrah during the lifetime of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the previous episode, we spoke about how Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the importance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being of a good disposition, having good character, being gentle, being kind, being merciful towards the believers. And had he been the opposite, harsh, hard-hearted, strict, stern, then many of those people would have dispersed from amongst him. And Allah Azza wa Jal also mentioned in the previous episode, as we said, Allah Azza wa Jal also mentioned to us the favor that He bestowed upon us of having a messenger from amongst the believers who would come and teach us His revelations, purify us and teach us the book and the wisdom. So today we begin from verse 165, which is the last verse on the previous page, page 71. But we said that we would mention it together with today's verses. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Why do you say when a calamity befalls you, even after you have inflicted twice as much damage on your enemy, how did this happen? Say to them, you brought it upon yourselves. Indeed, Allah has power over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is now concluding the issues of the Battle of Uhud. And one of those issues, or one of those points that the Prophet, that Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning as a principle, as a lesson that we can all benefit from, is the way in which He is consoling the believers who on that day suffered, in the sense that they lost 70 odd of their brethren, 70 odd of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were martyred on that day. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that you questioned yourselves and you said, how could this possibly happen to us? The fact being that that 70 of our brothers died on this day. Like so, as we said before, Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the likes of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, was the first ambassador in Islam. He was the one the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first sent to Medina to call the rest of the people of Medina to Islam. He was considered to be from the major companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then you have other companions, maybe slightly less known, but also pivotal people, the likes of the father of Jabir radiallahu anhu, the companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Haram. You have a companion by the name of Handara, who got married on that day of the Battle of Uhud, and he died on the battlefield, or he got married the night before the Battle of Uhud, and he died on the battlefield. All of these different stories that you have concerning the martyrs of that day. Allah Azza wa Jal says that when this calamity befell you, you asked yourselves, how did this happen? قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا. Allah says, even though you inflicted twice as much damage upon them, meaning in the previous year, on the day of the Battle of Badr, which took place in the previous year, the second year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is said that when the Muslims fought in the Battle of Badr, the Muslims killed 70 of the Quraysh, and they imprisoned 70. So 70 of the enemy died, 70 of them were taken as captives or prisoners of war. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that yes, 70 of your brothers died on the Battle of Uhud, but you inflicted double that upon them, either in terms of what you did in terms of killing them, or in terms of taking their captives and their prisoners of war. And this is one of the ways in which Allah Azza wa Jal lightens or consoles the believers after what took place on the day of Uhud. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them perspective. And that is always important in major calamities and in major trials of life, whatever that trial may be, whatever form it may take, it is important to put things into the larger, greater perspective, to understand everything that happens in your life and to see this as one event in a chain of the rest of your life or in the whole greater picture of what is your life. So sometimes, for example, a person may be afflicted by a major calamity. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one or something to do with their health or something to do with their finances and wealth. But to remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you so much more. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here to the believers. That Allah gave to you double that in terms of victory in the previous year. So yes, you lost here, but that doesn't mean that Allah has forsaken you. Doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't love you. Doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla decrees that certain things will happen. And we mentioned some of the wisdoms already of why Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes decrees defeat upon people from those reasons, as we said, was so that Allah Azza wa Jalla can show the difference between the true believers and those who don't have true iman in their hearts. Because otherwise those people of hypocrisy and others would always constantly be with the believers because they're always winning. But when you lose sometimes, those people leave you, they abandon you, you see their true colors, you see their true worth and value. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but you question when this happened, أَنَّا هَذَا. How did this happen to us? Where did this come from? Why did this calamity befall us? Allah Azza wa Jalla responds, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say that it is something which you brought upon yourselves. Meaning, when you differed amongst yourselves, when those companions on the archers of the mount, when they differed amongst themselves and some of them left because they wanted the spoils of war and so on, this is as a result. And this is something which we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, that which befalls us of calamities is often as a result of our own doing, our own sins, of what we have earned in terms of our own deeds and actions. And so here we have a clear example. They disobeyed the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you were struck with the calamity that you were then struck with. And likewise within our lives, how often do we not do what Allah Azza wa Jalla is obligated? How often do we fall into the haram? How often do we ignore the commands of the Quran and the Sunnah? How often do we oppress others and so on? And then as a result, there are calamities. And sometimes those calamities are immediate. Sometimes those, and not necessarily calamity as in it has to be a major thing, but sometimes it can be a relatively small thing. So for example, you may lie or you may cheat, and then as you're walking, you bang your foot, you hurt yourself, you trip, you fall over. And you can automatically, if you're someone who is conscious of this and is aware of this, you can sometimes link that I just did that thing which I shouldn't have done. I just committed some haram. I just sinned and disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, and immediately now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested and tried me with this thing. And that is what some of the Salaf, the scholars of the past, used to say, that when we do something wrong, we see its effects in the way that our families treat us and in the way that our animals treat us, meaning the animal that we're riding. So today I'm riding my horse and the horse is just being stubborn. The horse isn't listening to what I want it to do. It's not going the way or allowing me to ride it the way that I would normally ride it. Or for example, you come home and there's absolutely no reason as to why your wife, your husband, your children shouldn't be very happy with you. There's no reason why they should be giving you grief and difficulty, but for some reason, they're just not in a good mood. For some reason, you're going home and there's problems and there's tension and there's issues. Maybe it's not because of something that you directly did, but it's because of a sin or oppression that you committed outside, and these are the results that you're facing now. SubhanAllah, that is something how Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes shows us the immediate repercussions of that which we have done in terms of sin and disobedience. And obviously there are other ways in which that can be shown as well. So sometimes it is immediate, but not necessarily always the case. But sometimes you see it manifesting in ways and there's no other logical reason. There's no reason as to why that should happen except for the fact that you have done something which you shouldn't have been doing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has power over all things. In verse 166, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And what befell you on the day that the two armies met in battle happened with Allah's permission, and in order for him to see who were the true believers and who were the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hypocrites part is in part of the next verse, which is 167. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, on the day that you met, the two armies met, meaning on the day of the Battle of Uhud, Allah Azza wa Jal gathered the Muslim army and the non-Muslim army together. And Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that which afflicted you of that day, from the harm, from the injury, from the loss of your brothers or 70 odd that were martyred on that day, that is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah decreed it. And as we said before, that there are numerous wisdoms as to why Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes decrees calamity or defeat or loss upon the believers. From those reasons is that which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions here. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. That Allah may make it known who are the true believers and who are the people of nifaq and hypocrisy. Because otherwise the believers would always have those people amongst them and in their ranks who are just there for the worldly benefits, who are just there for the worldly accolades. But the believers also suffer defeat, also suffer problems, because that for them is a way of purification, of expiation, of increase in reward and higher status and higher levels in Jannah. But at the same time, it allows the Muslim ranks to be cleansed from those people who aren't truly and sincerely part of them or alongside them. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 167, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And so that Allah may make it known who are the hypocrites. Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on in verse 167 to describe the hypocrites and what it is that they say and what it is that they do. He says, وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوِ دَفَعُوا قَالُوا لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. When it was said to them, come and fight for Allah's cause, or at least defend yourselves, they answered, we would follow you if we knew that there was going to be fighting. On that day, they were closer to disbelief than belief. They say with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. Indeed, Allah knows exactly that which they conceal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was said to them, because these are the people who, as we said, they stayed away from the battle. They, a third of the Muslim army, went back with the hypocrites and they retreated towards Medina. It was said to them, come and fight in Allah's way, or at least defend yourselves. Help us to defend the city. They said in response, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. Had we known that there was actually going to be fighting, we would have come. These are now the excuses that they make. And as we said before, that the hypocrites often would stay away from the major battles. And then when the Prophet ﷺ returned, they would come with their excuses. And the Prophet ﷺ knew that they were false excuses, that they were lying, but he would accept what they said. Because he's not there to open up people's hearts. He's not there to, because as Muslims, we can't judge what is in a person's heart. We have to base it upon what is apparent. So they would come and they would say, O Messenger of Allah, I was sick. O Messenger of Allah, my parents were sick. O Messenger of Allah, I had this issue or that issue and it prevented me from accompanying you in the army and fighting alongside you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accept this. And we know this from the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu concerning the Battle of Tabuk, when he did stay behind along with a couple of his friends. And they missed the battle without any valid excuse. And they confessed to this in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, radiallahu anhu, in that narration that you find in the books of hadith, Bukhari and Muslim and so on, he says that as for the hypocrites, they came and they made their false excuses and they lied. And he said, and I had also the ability to come and lie, because Allah gave me eloquence, Allah gave me the ability to speak. But I knew that even if I lied in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, Allah would expose me. Allah knows the reality. And that is why Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says in that hadith that there was nothing more beloved to me after my Islam than the fact that I spoke truth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day of Tabuk. That I told him the truth in that incident. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, obviously after those 50 nights of trial and tribulation, of testing him, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed his tawbah and his repentance. So therefore they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is their excuse, their time? We didn't actually think that there would be fighting. We didn't actually think that there would be a battle and war. And this is such a bad or poor excuse to give, because the Muslims are coming together and preparing an army. They know that the Quraysh are coming and they're seething because of what took place from the Battle of Badr. They know that they've come towards the outskirts of Medina to destroy the city and its inhabitants and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only that, but the Muslims have stepped outside of the city to defend. So it's not like the two armies are not going to meet. And the odds are that if the two armies are going to meet on an open battlefield, then there is going to be fighting. What did they say? They said, no, we didn't think that they would actually be fighting. We didn't actually think that it would get to that level. And so we thought it wouldn't make a difference. We'll just go back home and it wouldn't make a difference. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. That is a state on that day in which they are closer to disbelief than iman, and that is because of, you know, the hypocrisy that they had in their hearts. يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم. They say with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. والله أعلم بما يكتمون. And Allah knows exactly that which they conceal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 168 he then says, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ مَقَعَدُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا قُلْ فَدَرَؤُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. As for those who stayed behind and said of their brothers, if only they had listened to us, they would not have been killed. Tell them, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ward off death from yourselves if what you say is true. And this is similar to the verses that we took in a couple of episodes or two, three episodes ago. Those passages of this surah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that from the statements of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites towards the Muslims that fought on the Battle of Uhud was that had you listened to us, had you stayed with us, those companions wouldn't have died. There wouldn't have been injuries. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been injured. Had you listened to us, there would have been no fighting or no killing. And that is because they want to show themselves to be more intelligent, more wise, that their decisions were justified, that what they did was correct and true, and that is because they only look for the dunya. They only look for the temporary benefits of this world. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that indeed Allah azza wa jal wants for the believers what is better, and that is the reward of the hereafter. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, قُلْ فَدَرَأُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. So therefore prevent from yourselves death if you are able to, if you are truly truthful. Because they're hiding from death. They're escaping death in their thinking, or according to their rationale and their intelligence, they're escaping from death by not being upon the battlefield, by not putting themselves in that situation in which they may die. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you can never escape death. You can never escape death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next number of verses, from 169 onwards, and we've now more or less finished the passage of this surah that speaks about the Battle of Uhud and its lessons and its many benefits that we can derive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now go on to speak about an issue that is extremely important and linked to the Battle of Uhud in a way, and that is the station of the martyrs, their station and their reward, and their position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says in verse 169, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. O Prophet, do not think of those who have been killed in Allah's way as dead, rather they are alive with their Lord, well provided for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people, meaning the hypocrites, say what they say, if you were with us, had you listened to us, stayed with us, you wouldn't have died, they wouldn't have been killed, there would have been no death. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that's because they think that the death of this dunya is the end of everything. There is nothing after it. But actually this is only the temporary world that is the stepping stone to the permanent abode and the permanent existence. As for those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla favors and Allah Azza wa Jalla honors, the believers, then they even after death are not truly dead in the way that you understand it, meaning that there is no existence after it, that they are simply going to rot and there is nothing more, but rather they are living the life of the barzakh, the life of the grave, and after it on Yawm al-Qiyamah they will be resurrected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for some of these people, as we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah honors the believers in their graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands their graves for them, and He makes them bright and illuminated, and He opens for them a gate from the gates of paradise so that they can smell and see Jannah even as they are living in their graves. And there are numerous ahadith that speak to the blessings of the grave and so on and so forth. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that these people are not truly dead. Those people that you claim as being dead are not truly dead, but rather they are living in a different way, in a different life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla honors, from the general group and the general number of believers, from those that are honored specifically, are the martyrs. They are given specific honors. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Do not think that those that have been killed in Allah's way are truly dead. بَلْ أَحْيَا. But rather they are living. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. And with their Lord, they are well provided for. And we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah Azza wa Jalla places their souls in the bodies of green birds that fly around the chandeliers of Jannah. And so they are living in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla determines that they are living. In the hadith of Jabir radiallahu an, when his father Abdullah ibn Haram radiallahu an passed away, Jabir radiallahu an came after the battlefield, or the battle had ended, to take the body of his father and to bury it. And when he came, he was extremely upset. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, O Jabir, what is wrong with you? And Jabir radiallahu an said, O Messenger of Allah, my father died, and he left me behind as the only male child, and I have sisters and a mother that I have to now look for. And Jabir radiallahu anhu was young in age, and he also left upon me debt that he didn't pay off, debt that I now have to go and find money for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal spoke to everyone that died in the battle of Uhud, but as for your father, he spoke to him without any veil, any hijab, and he said to him, wish, what do you wish for? And your father said, I wish that I could go back and fight again in your way, O Allah, and die. And Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, but rather this is something which I have decreed, that no one can go back to the life of the dunya after they have left it. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, numerous ahadith speak about the way that Allah Azza wa Jal provides for and honors the people of martyrdom within our religion. And clearly when we say martyrdom, it is in the way that is established and legislated in the Sharia with its rulings and so on, not what we see unfortunately today from those acts of immaturity that some people do, where they go and they harm innocent people and they kill Muslims and non-Muslims alike without any due cause or reason or justification, and they consider themselves to be martyrs. That's not the martyrdom that is being referred to here, nor is that the jihad that is legislated in the Sharia. And so those caveats are important for us to remember and to mention, because otherwise people misunderstand these verses, misunderstand the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and that can be extremely dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says in verse 170, continuing to speaking about the martyrs, فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They are happy with that which Allah has given to them of His favor, rejoicing that for those that they have left behind, rejoicing that for those they have left behind who have yet to join them, there is no fear, nor will they grieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah azza wa jal will honor these people, the martyrs, those who have sacrificed themselves for His cause, and Allah Azza wa Jal makes them happy and they are joyous. And they are joyous for the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon them. And from those blessings is that Allah Azza wa Jal tells those people that you don't have to fear nor grieve. Don't fear about what's going to come ahead of you, and you don't have to grieve about that which you left behind in the dunya from your family and from your loved ones. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from the wishes of the martyrs is that they could go back to the dunya and tell their family that which they're experiencing from the honors and the bounties that Allah Azza wa Jalla is bestowing upon them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are joyous and happy, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla save them from the grief and from the harm that they may otherwise have encountered. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning these verses here, as we said, because, like we mentioned, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites and others, were essentially looking down upon the Muslims. They were looking to humiliate them, looking to make them feel bad and sad over that which the Muslims had suffered on the day of Uhud. had you listened to us, had you been with us, had you just stayed with us, everything would have been okay. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those people that have been martyred on that day, those 70 odd companions on the day of Uhud, it is far greater and far more worthier than that which you would have stored for them in the dunya, in this life. Allah Azza wa Jalla honored them on that day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla honored them in the sense that even till today, Muslims from across the world, when we go to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, often, more or less, most of them will go to Uhud. Many of them will go to the battlefield of Uhud, and they will look at the area, and they will look at the battlefield, and they will take the lessons and hear the story of what took place on that day, and they will see the graveyard of the martyrs of the Battle of Uhud, and they will make dua for them. As the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shortly before his death, he went towards the Battle of Uhud, the battlefield of Uhud, and he went and he made dua for the martyrs of Uhud. And so people still go today and they make dua for those people, those 70 odd companions. We don't have the same for the people of Badr, those companions that died on the day of Badr, or those that may have died in other expeditions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was part of, or that he sent out during his lifetime. But Uhud is unique. Uhud is unique that people still go there till today and they make dua for those 70 people. And that is one of the ways in which Allah Azza wa Jal honored those people. That is one of the ways in which Allah Azza wa Jal has preserved their stories and their remembrance and the mention of their names. That even till today, Muslims across the world, young and old, know the names of the likes of Hamza radiallahu an, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they know the names of the likes of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu an. And even if you don't know the names of those individuals, 70 of them, each one of them by name, then you know generally the story of what took place. And people still go there and they make dua for them, and they ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send His rahmah, His mercy and His forgiveness upon them. And that is an honor from the honors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because from the greatest honors that a person can receive, and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal that a person can receive, and from the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that after your death, people will continue to make dua for you. They will continue to remember you. And that is something which Allah Azza wa Jal only affords to His awliya, only affords to those people that Allah truly loves. And that is why the scholars of Islam, whose names that we still mention, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we still make dua for, those amazing personalities in our religion that even today we still remember them, we still make dua for them, and we seek Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy and forgiveness for them. The final verse that we will take today is verse 171, and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They rejoice in Allah's blessings and favor, and that Allah will not let the reward of the believers be lost. And so those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them martyrdom in the life of the grave and on Yawm al-Qiyam on the day of resurrection, they will have the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have His mercy, His forgiveness and His reward, and Allah does not let that reward be lost. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.